Boston Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to host the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. I've been hosting this call 19 plus years. So if you've been on this call before, thank you for being a loyal follower. Frank, you've been on this call many, many times. Joe DiBianca, Regina, Jamie, anyone that's been on this call, Jamie and I go back 5 years. Regina, 4 years for you. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being on tonight's call. Bobby Robinson, who is a regular listener, has been on this call for 17 years from North Carolina. I mean, Bobby is what you put, he puts the L in the word loyal. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, then I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. And I'll tell you, it is an absolute great day to be an entrepreneur today, a great day to be alive. I love the calendar year 2017. We're coming to the end of an era. One of my favorite times of the year is the holiday season, and I get to come to the East Coast 2 times before the year ends, and I get to come back right around the first of the year. Now, the end of the era, 2017, obviously is not officially in the books. We're moving into the holiday season of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that is unequivocally when you keep your foot on the accelerator, because many, many people are going to be spending their dollars, and many of them can be investing them with you. And I'm going to cover some of that content on tonight's call in the Science of Attraction. This Saturday, I'll be in one of my favorite cities of all time. I've been speaking in Philadelphia for 15-plus years. I spoke back there back in 2003. It was the first time I ever spoke in Philadelphia. At the used to be the Hilton, then it became the DoubleTree, then it's the DoubleTree at Hilton. And this Saturday, I'm going to be at the Marriott at the airport for the first time. That will be from 9 until 4 with Joe DiBianca as my host. Joe's been coming to my events for going on 6 years. That'll be my last Philadelphia trip. I will commit to at least 3 to 4 events in the calendar year 2018 in one of my favorite cities, Philadelphia. December 2nd, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia. December 16th, I'll be in Rye, New York for the second time. I've spoken in Long Island many, many times. I could not get a venue that was ideal for me on December 16th. That'll be my last East Coast trip. It will be in Rye. That is, I believe, close to White Plains in Westchester County. But that will be December 16th. That event is already filling up. And I'm going to end the year, December 30th, in Marina Del Rey with my exceptional friend and client, Brittany Cara. Brittany absolutely brought people to their knees at my most recent event, Protege Writer Speakers Workshop. She shared the stage with the great G. Edward Griffin. What a 1-2 punch they were. For those of you who have never attended a Breakthroughs to Success, put it on your calendar. That is a game-changing event, and I unequivocally can deliver the opportunity for you to release in a very relaxed forum, change your energy, and change who and what you attract. I will start 2018 in Fort Lauderdale with Lisa Pazanza. Lisa's been a client of mine, a coaching client of mine, for going on 4-plus years. That's Saturday, January 6th. I'll be in one of my favorite cities, Dallas, Texas, January 13th. And I just put on the books January 30th, Spartanburg, South Carolina. That is the home of the Marshall Tucker Band, for those who remember country rock in the 70s. But I will be in Spartanburg, South Carolina, Saturday, January 20th, February 24th, Orlando, Florida. And March 3rd, I will be in Saddlebrook, New Jersey, Saddlebrook, with Diane Hughes Hunt as my host. And Colleen Olitsky will be my host February 24th in Orlando. I'm rapidly filling up my calendar for 2018. And with that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I've covered many variations of attraction. I was first introduced to attraction back in the late 1980s. And read my first book that really assisted me to understand the laws of attraction. That book was called The Game of Life and How to Play It. That's where I first learned the term word is law. Chapter 3 A man's word is a man's law. The more you understand that attraction is more than laws of attraction, there's a science to it. Once you begin to understand the inner game of attraction, you can enhance your probability and the law of averages and being able to improve who and what you attract. Now here we are, we're moving into the last 45 plus days of the calendar year 2018. It'll be the end of the era, we'll be in the books, it will be the end of many people's calendar year of struggle. Some of you have absolutely had a breakthrough year, and you want to be able to put your foot, as I said, on the accelerator and finish strong. Now, if you are a starter and not a finisher, that's unequivocally a situation that you want to look at. If you have shiny object syndrome, if you get overwhelmed easily, if you start projects and don't finish them, if you take on more projects than you can possibly have, if you move from project to project, that's going to be a direct reflection of shiny object syndrome and being overwhelmed. Now, in that kind of energy, will you attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill those feelings? If you live in non-committed energy, you're going to attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill those feelings. Now, the more you understand the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, as you become skilled at letting go, and letting go is a skill. It's the ability to separate feelings from events. As you're able to no longer give power to people and situations that you would prove right or prove wrong, then you can begin to live in a much more relaxed body. As you become consciously aware, that's an energy. As you live in awareness, as you live in consciousness, you'll raise your energy. As you're able to separate yourself from fear, doubt, and anxiety, now you're moving into higher calibrations of energy. You're moving up the laws of energy, and that energy is calibrated and measured in cycles per second. So when you're transmuting your feelings from joy, love, bliss, awareness, you're coming from reciprocity and prosperity. Now, I'm not talking about being positive. Many people spray paint the rust. They spray paint the positive paint over the negative paint, hoping that it will stick. Well, unfortunately, it wears off relatively easy. That's why it's imperative, important, mandatory that you have a better understanding of the basic laws of cause and effect. Now, as you can, once again, no longer be the mind-body connection to events that shape feelings. Now, just recently, I did 3 coaching calls on 3 different days with 3 people that showed up in my coaching, and all 3 of them had variations of hay fever, congestion, colds, and flu. Now, by the end of an hour, miraculously, all 3 of them, now these are on different days, all 3 of these people said to me, oh my God, my symptoms have gone away. Well, the reason being is because I didn't address the effect of their illness or their dis-ease. I assisted them to understand that they're congested, their stopped up feelings, their sinus situations were a direct reflections of someone close to them. As I assisted them to understand what and who they were holding on to, miraculously, their symptoms began to go away. Now, when you begin to understand that mind-body connections, as you start to understand why you do what you do, as you start to understand how to separate your feelings from the events that shape them, then you're not attached to outcomes anymore. You no longer hold on to the pain of regret. You move more into a relaxed state, a state called consciousness, a state called awareness. That state is also synonymous with know, K-N-O-W, not N-O, but know. When you know, now you're in trust. When you trust, you don't doubt. When you don't doubt, then your energy isn't mixed. When you're in doubt, you're going to foster doubt with words like kinda, sorta, guess, hope, maybe, if I had to say. This is the fractionalized sentence that most Americans speak in. Most Americans speak in non-committed riddles. Now, when you start to understand why people do what they do, as you become consciously aware, as you become very skilled at sales, branding, and marketing, and you ask questions that are trial close questions, outcome questions, commitment questions, you'll understand that most of society is commitment phobic. And when someone answers your question with a preposition to start a sentence, then you should know relatively quickly that a story is coming. And in that kind of attraction, you can pick up very quickly who's committed and who isn't. And you're not doing any of this from judgment, you're knowing this from know-how. These are inner game skills. And as you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your doubt, your fear, and your anxiety, then you can separate yourself from your past. you live in the present, you begin to, over time, begin to change who and what, who you attract and what you attract. Now, in this type of energy, the parking spaces are available for you. Tickets mythically, magically end up showing in your hand for back row seats, for press passes, for sideline events at sporting events, box seats, press box seats, any multitude of situations, because you synchronistically attract your reality like-minded individuals that you can collaborate with. When you live in synchronicity, they become meaningful coincidences. They become occlusal awareness. It means that you attract frequently situations that empower you. And it becomes an expectation. And in that type of expectation, it's also going to show up in the people who show up. So you will meet and encounter people in your various business ventures who you will want to know, how do I? And they'll say they can't explain it to you because it's an experience. And when you're able to experience experiences with other people who understand those experiences, then you too will attract your reality people out of the morphogenic field, out of the quantum field of energy and the Akashic records. These are energetic vibrational fields that you're able to receive content and disseminate it without having to understand how you received it. That means that you are accessing infinite intelligence. And it is that type of energy that you become a vessel, a vehicle, a warehouse, a storehouse for content and knowledge. So in that kind of energy, you can sit down at a computer, a typeboard, a laptop, a phone, and you're able to create on command. And you don't live in the how do I, I'm not good at writing, I'm not good at this, I'm not sure if I can put myself out there. You don't talk yourself out of your brilliance. Now, one of the challenges is many people have the brilliant curse. They're so brilliant that they can't monetize it. They have so many ideas, so many great opportunities, so many great business plans, so many great business models, so many great inventions that they can't start. Now, that is called performance anxiety. Many people get so overwhelmed at the thought of how brilliant they are and can they keep their brilliance the next day. Well, that hasn't even happened. Focus on brilliant, brilliant. Today, now, in the moment, in the present, it's now o'clock. As you let go of your anxieties about outcomes that haven't happened, your energy begins to shift. Worry is not a skill. Worry is an anxiety. If you're worried all the time, I mean, what does that actually mean? I'm worried all the time. I'm always worried. How will that show up in attraction? Well, you'll attract overwhelmed non-success seekers like yourself to fulfill a set of feelings that keep you disappointed. Now, when you begin to understand that attraction is a skill and attraction is a science, if you downloaded tonight's call or saw it on Facebook or received an email, these are points 1 and 2 on the 12 points of attraction. Attraction is a skill and attraction is a science. Become skilled at who and what you seek to attract. That requires clarity. I asked someone recently, why do you own a business? To get out of debt. Is that why you own a business? When you were 10 years old, did you dream of getting out of debt? Probably not. You wanted to move to Disneyland. You wanted to move to California. You wanted to be an astronaut, a doctor, an attorney, a professional athlete, an actress, entertainer, a woman of influence or affluence, any multitude of situations that accessed your limbic brain. Attraction comes from being creative and innovative. It does not come from the neocortex of your overwhelmed left brain. Your left brain is your intelligent brain. That's the brain of logic and reason. Now, you must also understand this. When you're presenting products, benefits, features, services, and you're selling the dream, that's a right brain experience. You don't attract people from your left brain. You attract from your right brain. Now, as you start to become one with, then you bring the three brains together, the cerebellum, the analytical egoic mind, the neocortex of your left brain, your limbic brain, your creative and intuitive brain, your brain where you start to live in your extrasensory perception, your know-how, your ability to articulate feelings into words, your ability to let go, your ability to recover, that all comes from your right brain. It's not logical, it's not practical, it's emotional, it's spiritual. And when you begin to connect spiritually, emotionally, you're not trying to do it logically. You don't figure out connecting, you connect. You don't try and figure out what to say. How do I? What do I say? My biggest challenge is I don't know what to say. Well, you don't say, you ask. When you learn to let go of your control that keeps you in control of being out of control, then you're not going to be in an overwhelmed, anxious state focused on failing. Most people focus on failing rather than focusing on the skills. It's success that people have so much anxiety about because they're not sure if they can control it. And what most people are in control of is their control, and they're out of control, controlling their control. Now, I know some of you now understand that. I've heard you say that so many times, and now I get it. Good, because that's what I mean. That's energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y. And that kind of energy is the power to attract. Now, also, when you live in anxiety, that's the power to destroy. Anxiety creates sabotage. Anxiety creates overwhelmed feelings fostered by not being good enough. When you bring not being good enough into the equation, when that's where you live, that's where you reside, when you're worried and you're overwhelmed, you're going to attract your reality, people, and situations to foster your feelings. And see, this always happens to me. I knew this would happen. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be abandoned. Well, first of all, people don't reject you. A large percent of the population is not interested. And when they're not interested, you learn to let them go because not only are they not interested, they're not even interesting. And you're looking for people who you can connect with, collaborate with, create money with, create results with, foster change with. These are the kind of people you're looking for. Your objective is not to go out and find people who need what you have. Your objective is to attract people who deserve what you're marketing, what you're branding, what you're selling. You're looking for people who are more spiritual, emotional. A lot of people are analytical. So someone who wants you to explain it and beg them and convince them, people that have ridiculous product questions, that's a disqualifier. You want to learn to let these people go without judgment. And this isn't a, but don't you think? No, I don't think that. I don't think, I feel. When you begin to feel, then you're not in think thought. You're in feel felt. And when you feel felt, you're in trust. And when you're in trust, you're one with. Because when you're one with, there's no separation. When there's no separation, you don't make mistakes. But if you're mistake conscious and failure conscious, you'll attract your reality, the very situations, to fulfill your feelings. So what many people do is they chronically avoid success because they can control the outcome. This is so awesome when you understand this. I'll say this again. Many people chronically avoid success because they can control the outcome. They don't fail, but they stay disappointed. Then they wonder, I'm not where I should be. You are. You're right where you should be, or you wouldn't be there. Every blade of grass brought you to this moment. And if you haven't paid the price of success, then you're continuing to pay the price of regret. And that's what so many people do. You can't succeed on intention. You succeed on commitment. I've heard people say, what's your intention? Well, you never hear that from me. I never ask people what their intention is. I ask them if you can commit. And if you can't commit, you're not committed. I mean, this becomes a black and white rule in a gray world. You can't commit. You can't succeed from being interested. I've heard people say, I need to commit. That's a contradiction. You don't put a word of non-commitment in front of a word of commitment. That's the contradiction that most people live in. That's doubt. Doubt's the space between fear and faith, and that's unfortunately where most people reside because it's safe. Your foot's on the dock, your foot's on the boat, you can't get in, you don't get out, you stand there and you look at the horizon line, wow, I'd really like to go out in that water, but I might drown, you're right. The boat might capsize. You'd probably hit a rock to sabotage yourself to fulfill your disappointment. So not to hit a rock and stay disappointed, you stay on the dock. Unfortunately, that's a metaphor for how many people operate in free enterprise. Why you attract what you attract. That's point three of my 12 steps to attraction. Well, why you attract what you attract, you do it because it's familiar. You've been conditioned to behave in a way that the educational platform taught you. You've been conditioned to behave in a way the way your financial planners, your parents, the people you spent 20,000 meals with, by the way you're 18, society also has put you in a position to conform and to use the neocortex of your left brain. This is why people raise their hand when I ask a question in a live event. That's why they're taking notes because they might miss something. And that's why everyone lines up in rows. Typically, we don't sit in circles. We operate like sheep. And if you don't want to be a sheeple or a cattle people, and you want to leave the cow pen or the sheep pen or the pasture, you have to go into the jungle. And in the jungle, you have to have jungle skills. See, if you're a rhino, you don't mate with a cow. And if you're a rhino, you're not looking for cows. You're looking for other rhinos. Rhinos are very, very dedicated. They have a different type of skin. They operate on mind sight, not eyesight. Rhinos are actually blind. They're not good at lateral movement. They go forward. They don't go backward. They also are very fast. They can run 35 miles an hour. Now, if you're a developing rhino and you're in the jungle, you're in the right place at the right time. So it's going to be your responsibility how to find the land of paradise. The land of paradise, you have to go through the jungle to get there. There's quicksand there. There's obstacles. There's situations there. There's naysayer. There's broke dicks. There's people who want to rob you of your energy. As you begin to let go of people who no longer serve you. Now, what does that actually mean? It means they're not service. They're not serving you. They're not bringing you dinner. It means that people who give you bad advice, people who want to rob you of your energy, you have to let them go sometimes. Whatever that means, you figure that out. Letting it go means you may not communicate with them. You may spend less time with them, but one of the things you don't want to do is argue with them. You don't want to prove them wrong or prove them right. You want to be able to let them be where they are. You meet them where they are, and you move along. You learn how to effectively neutralize them. That becomes a very skilled part of attraction. But if you're trying to succeed to prove someone wrong, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're succeeding so you can live a better life. You're learning how to succeed so you can change your vocation. You're learning how to succeed so you can be self-sufficient, self-directed. And you do that by having self-esteem. As you start to love yourself, your energy will change. It will also change your laws of attraction. Loving yourself isn't a how do I situation. It is a commitment. You do it one day at a time over a long period of time. You start to feel more comfortable with yourself. You start to feel better about yourself. You don't require a man or a woman to fulfill your self-esteem. You require self-esteem to have self-esteem. That's permission-based. If you're waiting for someone else to give you permission, well, there are people who will love on you. There are people on your journey who are on your team. They're in the game with you. They're your comrades. But they're not your opponents. You're not in business to compete with someone. You compete with yourself. And you also have to understand that your prospects are your opponents until you're teammates. Because many of the prospects that you encounter, you'll meet opposition with them. Your objective is to see if you can collaborate with them. And if you can't create a win-win situation, then you want to diplomatically let people go so you can attract to reality the people and situations that will foster your purpose. As you become purpose-driven, your energy changes. Now, once you're purpose-driven, meaning you know who you are and you know what you're capable of, and your purpose becomes your passion. And your passion is the undertow. It's the fuel that drives your engine. It's the velocity that you create in a business. That passion is what must inspire you, drive you, and you're clear with it. That means you start to let go of your vague ideas about success. The most three common situations that people answer when I ask them a question, why do you want to own a business? Why do you want to succeed? Why do you want to change your life? Freedom, travel, and help people. Well, break those three situations down and be clearly defined in what that actually means. If your objective is to inspire people, then that means that you want to lead by example. This changes your energy also. One of my assistants said over the weekend, Jeff would never ask us to do what he doesn't do himself. I live on that. That means that I can do everything that's required in my business, and I wouldn't ask anyone to do what I haven't done. That's leading by example. And that kind of example becomes exemplary. That becomes a different type of energy. That means commitment energy. When you are committed, it changes the undertow of what's going on below the surface of your emotions. When you're committed, people begin to feel you. That's posture. That's swag. When you're committed, people know that they can count on you. But when you're not committed, you're interested. And when you're interested, you miss appointments. You don't show up. You create excuses. You're not really committed because you're not sure. When you're not sure, you're in fear, anxiety, and doubt. That's a very low energetic vibration. And in that type of energy, you'll attract codependent people, people who want you to enable them, people who want you to over-obligate them, they want you to loan them money, they have bad product experiences. These are the kind of people that require attention. And when you're attentive to their attention, you're in a very low energy. Now, that kind of energy, you're going to attract reality to your reality, emotionally addicted, lost souls who get overwhelmed easily. These are the kind of people who can't figure it out. These are the people who require assistance because they're not self-directed, self-driven. Now, that's going to be a large percent of society. There's an 80% and a 20%. Your objective is to be able to attract 20% of society, 4% of society, 1% of society, and then the unequivocal low of the low, the law of the few, the 1/20th of 1%. When you start to understand the 80-20 rule and have a better understanding of cause and effect, laws that govern money, understand people's predictability and why they do what they do, then you start to understand the inner game of commerce, the inner game of success, the inner game of business. And as you no longer hang on to the events that shaped your feelings, then you're able to separate yourself from being anxious. But once again, if you communicate with, I'm always worried, I worry all the time. I asked a woman tonight, she told me that she was worried about money. I asked her, does money worry about you? Now, money has a soul and money has a purpose. Money is an energy. But money does not worry because money does not have a conscience. But it's your consciousness about your ability to create and or attract people who you can create transactions, commerce, sales volume. You can move products, services, benefits, and features in free enterprise. As you start to develop those skills, then you will change your attraction. Who succeeds and who doesn't? Well, it's a big equation. It's not something you figure out. It's something you'd be a lot more aware of. Life is a very gray world. It's not black and white, although there are areas of life that do require you to be black and white, but a large percent of what you have to learn is how to be flexible, how to improve your reflexes, how to adapt and adjust, how to be creative and innovative. That's all right brain skills. When you begin to live in the limbic brain more frequently, as you start to bring the neocortex of your left brain, your analytical mind, into a state of one with, where your three brains become one, now you're present. And it's in that type of brain chemistry that you're no longer sending a mixed message. You're sending a message that you're comfortable with who you are. You're comfortable with what you're creating. And that kind of comfortability puts people at ease. Now, when you bring this kind of energy, people begin to say, I don't know what it is about you. They're not going to say, I don't know what it is about you when you're worried all the time. They know what it's about you. They know that you're overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed, you're not attractive. You may be physically attractive, but your energy is not emotionally attractive. And it's the emotional energy that can also be coupled with some of your outer good looks when it's coupled with your inner good looks. When you bring the two together, then you bring a different type of sex appeal to life. And it's that kind of sex energy that you transmute. It's not sexuality, it's sex energy. It's the energy that emanates from your core, from your abs, from your diaphragm. Not the energy that emanates from your brain. It's from the energy that emanates from your body. That energy is charisma. That energy is powerful, magnetic. That energy is attractor factor. That energy is conscious awareness. It's love. It's joy. It's bliss. It's enlightenment. When you're coming from goodness, prosperity, reciprocity, then the parking spaces are there for you. The tables are available for you. There's two seats in an ideal situation at the movie theater for you. Just as the situation's about to close, it opens for you. And instead of being frantic and frantic and trying to pull it off at the last minute, you start to become a lot more methodical, systematic, organized, and detailed. Anxiety, fear, and doubt begin to dissipate. You're no longer in resentment and guilt. Resentment and guilt are the front side and the back side of emotions. A large percent of society's emotions are driven by guilt. You're too guilty to receive, too guilty to ask, too guilty to succeed, too guilty to receive, too guilty to deserve. And you end up giving your power away. And in that kind of powerless state, you're transmuting your energy at a very low vibration. Now, if you lost your innocence as a child growing up, meaning that you had to be a grown-up before your time, you had to take a role in your family, it was unhealthy, you had to give your money back to your family to support the family, you had to send money back home, any multitude of situations that rob you of your pride, your dignity, your courage, your ability to be yourself because you had to be someone else, if you had to be a grown-up before your time, then there's a high probability that your attractor factor is going to come from enabling, over-obligating, giving, and serving. Now, there's a big difference between serving and serve us. Your objective is when you own a business is to constantly raise your value. You don't raise a price, you raise your value, and you service your clients. But if you're addicted to serving them, then they end up owning you. And if you over-serve, that means you over-obligate. because you're guilty about their failure, or you're guilty about a story that hasn't even happened. Because when guilt drives your emotions, you're going to attract your reality a very low level of energy, a low level of opportunity. You're too guilty to park in front because someone else might deserve it more than you. When you're guilty, you justify and validate how broke you are. You justify and validate, hey, it's really not that bad. Hey, I really love my job. I'm going to hang around there another couple years because I don't really believe I can succeed. I'm going to tell myself what I want to, my ego thinks I want to hear, knowing I'm living a lie, and I'm going to continue to do what I do. Your energy changes when you move into recovery. When you start to understand that recovery requires these two words, rigorous honesty. I did a call with a woman earlier today who's in recovery but spends a lot of her time in denial, which is a contradiction. But if you tell yourself you're recovering but you don't know why you do what you do, that's denial. If you continue to go, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. If you continue to stay a dry drunk, it means you've addressed the effects of your addictions but you haven't addressed the cause. Then once again, that's a very low energy you're living in because you don't have clarity. When you become clear, when you understand, when you let go, when you know, when you no longer have other people responsible for your feelings, when you can let go of the seduction that you believe that you have to have for certain people, when you're no longer over-serving and you no longer let people use guilt to control you, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shape those feelings. Now you can separate your feelings from events, changes your energy, you move into conscious awareness. If you've ever had a mother, a significant other, or someone use guilt to control you, and then you succumb to that guilt, you end up resenting the situation. It's guilt with the backside of resentment, what are you going to attract your reality in your business? You want to be able to state who you are without feeling guilty, without having to justify, explain, and validate. If you don't want to visit someone, be clear about it. Be honest with it. Don't be so concerned with hurting someone's feelings while you compromise your own integrity. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. They compromise their own integrity because their energy is based on guilt. They tell people what they want to hear and do what other people want them to do, and then they're doing it in a mixed message. They're doing it in resentment energy, and they're not doing anyone any favor or developing any service or any value when you do that. You want to be rigorously honest. Now, your objective is never to hurt anyone's feelings, but your objective is also not to sabotage yourself because you can't make a decision. And unfortunately, that's what many people do. Because you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your anxiety, then you'll spend less space in this place called scarcity. When you live in scarcity, poverty consciousness, and your dialogue with money isn't conducive to asking for what you deserve, you're not able to ask for what you can receive, you're not comfortable with raising your value, you'll just accept any old thing. You'll accept with the free market bears rather than going out and creating with the free market bears. When you come from that type of energy, that low level of vibration, you're going to attract most of the people in your influence are going to be in anxiety, fear, and doubt. And this is when you look over the horizon line and go, wow, nobody in my team is doing anything. Well, that's going to be a direct reflection of who you've been over dedicated blocks of time. I asked someone today, how many people rank advanced in your business this year? She goes, well, I started at the end of the year. I didn't ask when you started. I ask how many people. I asked the same question twice. The answer was what I thought it was. That's spelled with a Z, Z-E-R-O. You monitor your success by your results. And not everything shows up in a result automatically, but you have to have some results to monitor your progress. That means you become results conscious, solution oriented. But if you continue to live in the problem, I'm worried all the time, I always worry, that's a very low level of energy. That's anxiety energy directly reflected to the emotion of overwhelm. Because when you're worried, you're overwhelmed. When you're worried, you're attempting to be in control of events you can't control so that you'll feel better about yourself. When you let go of control, because control is illusion, control isn't something you control. You don't want to control your emotions. You want to let go of control. When you let go of control, then you learn there is no control. When you understand what worry is anxiety about future events that haven't happened that you want to be of control of so you don't get in trouble, so you don't make mistakes, so you don't offend someone, so you don't say the wrong thing, so you don't get reprimanded. If you let go of these stories and anxieties that you hold on to, then you will be you and you will be free. Then you can be present here and now. When you can let go of, yeah, but, how do I? If you're sensitive and defensive, that's rejection energy. It means you're more consumed with being rejected than you are getting a result. If you're sensitive and defensive, you're unequivocally not teachable and not coachable. Because if you're sensitive and defensive, you'll ask someone a question. Mid-sentence, you'll interrupt them. You'll already be ahead of their energy, worried about the next thing that's going to happen. And then you end up alienating the very people you seek to attract because of your own rejection issues. When you reject others and you reject yourself, that's a very low level of energy. That's violation energy. That's perpetrator energy. I mean, you perpetrate on yourself the same situations over and over to be and stay disappointed. So the lowest levels of energy, that is resentment. And when you start to let go of the cause, it creates the effect. Cause are the events. Effects are what's going on now. When you start to have a better understanding of why you do what you do, if you ate before you went to bed last night and had no intention of doing that, well, that's an effect, not a cause. If you white-knuckled the whole day and then stood in front of one of the cupboards and cabinets and chugged a bottle of cooking wine, well, that's a developing situation. If you romanced all day your relapse, that cherry pie by Hostess or the pink snowball or the little Debbie that you had stashed in the back of your cabinet, or if you ate 4 health bars at the end of the night when you know you should have only had one because you frickin' white-knuckled it all day, dude, and then you justified how you deserve those 4 bars at the end of the night, well, that's an addiction. And that kind of addiction energy, that's control. And when you're in control of your control, you're going to attract people to be in conflict with because you require that conflict to create the neurochemical high, the cardio cocktail that comes from the combination of dopamine and cortisol. That's what an addict craves. An addict craves a little more. An addict always wants a little more. If you ever go back and watch the movie What the Bleep with the great Joe Dispenza, Fred Alan Wolf, and other neuroscientists, or you ever watch the original movie The Secret with John Assaraf or John DeMartini, I've never spoken to Fred Alan Wolf, but I've shared the stage with Assaraf, DeMartini, and Joe Dispenza on multiple times, you'll have a better understanding of cause and effect, why people do what they do. As you start to collapse and let go, you collapse events so that events no longer have significance. As you begin to collapse events that no longer serve you, as you separate your feelings from the people and the events that created your anxiety, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shape them. Now, how does that also show up in your health? You won't attract the same diseases based on the emotions that you hold on to. So if you're in resentment energy, that's going to show up in sinus infections. If you're holding on to unresolved anger, that's going to show up in MS, it's going to show up in cancer, and other diseases. If you have challenges letting go, it's typically going to show up in your intestines and your gut. Your body's going to have challenges eliminating and separating as you hold on. That's where H. pylori, SIBO, yeast infections, parasites all show up in your gut. And if you live in a short breath syndrome, that means you're separated from your gut and your right brain. So that means that typically you live in short breaths. That means you're in a lot of anxiety. You're overwhelmed all the time. You're unorganized, undisciplined, and wonder why no business builders are showing up in your enterprise. The reason being because your own dialogue with asking, receiving, and deserving. As you begin to let go of your scarcity consciousness, your poverty consciousness, if you keep telling yourself, I'm going to hire him after the first of the year, I'm going to do it. If you keep putting off what you know you should be doing because of your dialogue with money, your dialogue with money is a direct reflection of who shows up. If you live in broke thoughts and scarcity and worry about money, WTF are you going to attract? Well, I'll tell you. You're going to attract like-minded non-success seekers to fulfill your low self-esteem. As you're no longer the mind-body connection of those events that created your doubt, as you let go of your of your feelings of lack, as you start to become more secure and less insecure, as you become less sensitive and defensive, as you actually become coachable and teachable, and you can take insight and not turn it into criticism. If you can go one whole day without being critical, I say that to people, they go, oh, they start telling me how hard that's going to be. They tell me they want me to coach them, and right in the middle of me coaching them, they start telling me how hard it's going to be. That's what sensitive, non-success seekers who want to stay financially and emotionally challenged validate and justify their existence. When you're coaching your teammates and they interrupt you in mid-sentence, that's because they're in an outer body experience. They're already worried about the next question. They want to prove you wrong, not receive the content. When you start to encounter these people, let them go. And you let them go, that creates space for the people you can connect with. There is no loss in universal law. You cannot lose what you do not have. When you're not attached to outcomes, then you change the meaning. And as you change the meaning, then the events don't have the same significance. When you don't let people violate you, or you are able to let people go, then you're not proving other people right or proving them wrong. When you stop giving people permission to own space and rent space in your head, then you're no longer, number one, guilty and resentful. When you can diplomatically neutralize people who put you in a position to validate, justify, and explain yourself, it changes your energy because you're not going to attract people who want to make you wrong. When you can let go of stories that no longer serve you, what many people do is they get worried about their friends and family are going to think, and I go, specifically who? When I start asking people questions about their stories, typically they donut, check out, and can't answer because they start to realize that their story is a well-planned lie to keep them safe. And I'll tell you this about money. You don't save money to save you. You put money aside for a purpose. But if you think money's going to save you, then it's not going to happen. Money's purpose is not to save you. Money's purpose is to be enjoyed. Money is to be a commodity. It's a tool. It's you're supposed to enjoy it, not hoard it. Now, if you're saving money to create dividends, that's a different situation. But if you're using 401ks and pensions and you think it's going to save you, well, you're sadly mistaken because that's typically not what happens. It's your responsibility to have a better dialogue with money, a better dialogue with asking, receiving, and deserving, so you can attract your reality in a higher law of average, like-minded success seekers that you can collaborate with, that you can connect with, that you can be spiritual with, that you can raise consciousness with, you can build cultures with, that you can impact other people in life. When you start to operate from that situation, and you start to, then you start to live in a place called conscious awareness. Now, here's a place that can really assist you. You start to evaluate your lifetime of attraction. This is point number 9 on the 12 steps to the science of attraction. When you start to evaluate over your life who and what you've attracted, the science and laws of attraction will be a direct reflection of the events that shaped your feelings, the events you let go of, the events you hold on to. Events you hold on to that don't serve you allow you to stay in energy, the energy of fear, doubt, anxiety, and most importantly, it leads to disappointment. As you begin to have a better understanding of who you've attracted, now this is an exercise you do in absolute rigorous honesty. You're able to sit down. You can put it on a pen and paper. You don't have to write it down, but you want to understand it. It's more important to understand than it is take notes on it, because if you understand it, then you can put it into practical application. But if you just take notes on it and put it in your closet, so one day, mythically, magically, you can look over those notes that you're never going to look over, well, then you stop wasting your time. You devote your energy and your time in places that's going to create a result. You devote your energy and time into being able to live in the solution rather than continue to perpetuate the problem. As you start to become problem conscious, meaning you let go of problems and focus on solutions, your energy is going to change. Now, energy meaning not physical but emotional energy. It means that your energy is going to calibrate at a higher level of consciousness. So if you live in anxiety, fear, and doubt, your energy is going to top out at about 180 cycles per second. The highest level of that energy is going to be in anger, hate, and resentment. Even those aren't energies that are conducive to creating long-term relationships, sometimes you can turn on your anger and create a result out of it. However, anger burns out your adrenals and your energy quickly, and it's exhausting energy. So a lot of people are angry or very tired. They're very overwhelmed. They place blame on others. Now, as you're no longer the mind-body connection to your unresolved anger, once again, your energy will change. Then you can turn anger into passion. Anger and passion are similar energies. Now, once you start to channel your energy into areas that's going to reward you, then you'll stop devoting your energies into events you're going to resent. As you let go of your resentment, you can have a different level of reward consciousness. Now, meaning that if you're looking for people to recognize you, recognize yourself first. Get comfortable with yourself. If you want recognition, earn it. If you want to be in the stages and banquets of life, show up daily in your business and create results. You're going to get recognized for results, not for being a good person. Although there are different situations where you can get a humanitarian of a year award, or you can get a service award, you want to get production rewards. Production is paramount. That comes from action, not inaction. When you're inaction or inactive, then you're not going to create results. The more you understand cause and effect and why you do what you do, then you can separate your feelings from events. As you begin to evaluate your lifetime of attraction, that means who your friends were in grade school, who your friends were in junior high, who was your circle of influence in high school. Did it change from grade school and junior high to high school? Did you go from being an ugly duckling to a human being? Did you do that? Did you go through that process? If you had acne throughout high school or any multitude of situations where people would pick on you or you picked on yourself, that's what creates your critical behavior. When you're highly critical of yourself, when I ask my clients, if you can go a whole day without being critical, oh, that's going to be so hard, it's going to be difficult. You're already speaking into existence the reality you're seeking to avoid, and then you create what you seek to avoid to fulfill your disappointment. I'll say it again. When you put energy into what you don't want, when you're focused on what you don't want, it does become a focus. When you keep saying, I don't want to fail, I don't want to fail, you're magnetizing failure to reality in your own backyard because you're going to avoid succeeding so that you don't fail, but you fail by avoiding the skills. You get the very situation you sought to avoid because it's where your energy is focused on. I hope no one asked me how much money I've made. Well, you attract the very client who asks that one of the very first questions you get asked. Why? Because you telegraph your anxiety. You can also telegraph your self-esteem. You can telegraph how much you love life. You can telegraph how much you love people. When you come from that kind of energy, people begin to show up differently. So what does it mean they show up? It means people begin to magnetize to your energy as your energy changes. Through the law of numbers and through the law of frequency, you're able to attract to reality a few people of like mind, people of character, people who live in a different reality, people who are going where you're going, people who have like mind. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety, it starts to create space in your consciousness. And it's that space in your consciousness where you begin to attract your reality, people you can collaborate with, connect with, create results with, people you can be lifetime friends with. When you start to really get to know someone, it's because you're being vulnerable. And in that kind of vulnerability, it means you're open to receive. You're open to connect. But when you say, I'm not comfortable being vulnerable, what does that actually mean? It means that you're very stoic. You're very rigid. You're not going to let people get in because you're afraid they might violate you. If you have a history of being violated, that's completely understandable. But at what point are you willing to let go of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do? As you start to take a candid, realistic approach to who and what you attract, and you can do this objectively, who are my relatives between the ages of birth and 10 years old, between 10 and 15, 15 to 20, 20 to 25? Who did you constantly dine with for the 20,000 meals you spent with the financial planners as you grow up? Who was your biggest influence on money? Who's your biggest negative influence on money? Who did you date? Who did you mate? Who did you marry? Who did you associate with? Who are your friends? So as you take an honest, objective approach and look at who and why you attract what you attract, then you'll start to change who and what you attract. And this will start to show up occasionally, gradually, over a period of time. On any given day, David can attract Goliath. I mean, you can unequivocally do that. On any given day, You can attract your next superstar, but you also have to learn to meet people where they are, not set them up to disappoint you, and have a better understanding of why people do what they do. As you begin to understand mind-body connections, meaning that you start to understand the signals the body gives off, as you begin to understand what you attract through your emotions, as you become an emotional being very grounded in being yourself, you'll spend very little time overwhelmed. When you're overwhelmed, being overwhelmed, when you worry all the time, you can't possibly attract your reality. People can attract businesses when you're in that kind of energy. Now, when you can separate your feelings from events, then you actually start to recover. You start to be in recovery. You start to change who and what I attract. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety, then you're not anxious. You're not in anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. You're living more in joy, bliss, enlightenment, and an energy that's conducive to creating long-term, long-lasting relationships. As you're able to trust your feelings, trust your gut, trust your innate wisdom, you can't go wrong, because on a higher level of averages, you're going to have people show up, and it's these people that show up that typically are more of like mind. They're the people you've been looking for but couldn't find them because you didn't know where to look, because you weren't looking right there in your backyard. As you start to let go of why you do what you do, you'll feel a lot more comfortable and raise your emotional vibration. It's that vibration that you release, that you emanate from, that people want to be a part of, because it becomes magnetic. It becomes part of their universe. It becomes something they want. When you're able to live in that space and attract that, that becomes a skill that you unequivocally are mastering. So as you begin to have a better understanding of who and what you attract, then you can begin to raise your awareness. Raising your awareness means you're virtually raising your consciousness. It means you're able to, in your body, you're able to stay in your body, but you're also raising your consciousness. It means you become very grounded in who you are and what you do. You do that by letting go of anxieties, letting go of events, letting go of feelings, and being clear on who and what you're seeking to attract your business and your life. As you start to raise your awareness, your who and what you attract is going to differ. And this can be a very liberating situation. And for 2 years, I struggled in a business and never had any success. Year number 3 in that business in the mid-90s, I had a breakthrough year. I had a multiple six-figure year, was able to pay all my debt off in one short period of time, and this had never happened like this before. But once I started to expect that more frequently, my game started to change. As you began to attract your reality, people of quality, like mind, that you can collaborate with. I had a breakthrough year in 1995 and 6. I started 1995 in a little over $100,000 worth of credit card debt. When I finished the year, I was free of all debt. And when I started to focus on results and solutions, I spent less time in the problem. And it's that kind of energy when you're solution conscious or when you're commitment conscious. Then you're not commitment phobic. You're not holding up. You're holding up your end of the energy. When you're committed, you're going to attract quality, like-minded individuals who are also committed. But when you're interested, typically you're not committed and you can't really make and foster the change because you have too big a story. So as you start to understand the energy of attraction really breaks down to this one word, charisma, and if you don't have it, find it, borrow it, create it. Charisma is an energy that emanates from you. It's white light energy. It's energy of power. It's energy that's clean and clear. It's the energy of brotherhood. It's the energy and that kind of emotional etheric energy. You start to create camaraderie. And it's that kind of, and in charisma, that's the kind of energy that people want to feel, they want to touch, they want to be a part of. So when you live in charisma, you're going to magnetize your reality, people, and situations to fulfill feelings of enlightenment, empowerment. And it's that kind of feelings that you start to change who and what you attract. Attraction is a science. It's not luck. It's better to be good than it is to be lucky, because luck only is going to get you so far. And when you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events, you become empowered, and what you're doing is empowering. When you start to come from that space and energy, you're going to get the wow factor more frequently. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to host this call with you this evening. Now, if this call is officially recorded, we'll be available on Podomatic tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time, 9 Pacific. This Saturday, once again, I'll be in one of my favorite cities in the United States, Philadelphia. I'll be there from 9 until 4 at the Marriott Airport Hotel at the Philadelphia Airport. It's going to be a game-changing event. I unequivocally am going to bring content that will absolutely allow you to have a better understanding of why you do what you do, how to access your power, and how to also be here and be now. And you can practice this 7 days a week. So take a look at your calendar right now tonight. Get very clear on why you do what you do and commit to change by the first of the year. That will be January 1st, 2018. So on December 31st, you're in a great place in your life. You're changing. You're transforming. You're attracting a new set of success seekers, and you feel very comfortable being in that place. Have a good night and good evening, everyone. This call is officially recorded. Look forward to connecting with you. Bye.